Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. And joining us tonight is Jim Kelch, play-by-play announcer with the Cincinnati Reds. Jim, thanks so much for coming on Inside China Basin to talk about the Giants-Reds series, with the Giants winning the first two games. But, you know, they've been interesting for sure. They've been in close games. And tonight, Jeff Samardzija really had the Reds' number. And he normally doesn't pitch well in Cincinnati. Tell us what you thought of his performance.
Well, first of all, Joe, it's great to be back with you again, doing some things. You and I were together for many years back in the International League, so it's always good to catch up with you. But regarding Samardzija, yeah, it was one of the highlights that we brought out leading into tonight's game, the fact that he had been 1-5 against the Reds overall, 1-4 here in Cincinnati. But really, from the get-go of the game, Samardzija was in control. He had allowed only one hit going into the fifth inning. He gave up the home run ball to Duvall. Then he set down, what, 9 of the next 10 or 10 of the next 11. He got right back under control. And he was, I think the numbers will say that he was as sharp tonight as he's been this year.
Well, you're certainly familiar with Samardzija. And then, of course, Johnny Cueto pitching in the game on Monday, who was a Cincinnati Red for a long time. Tell us a little bit about him being on the mound there against the Reds, because, you know, he had that one bad inning there. But just, you know, just seeing him in a Giants uniform after all those years with the Reds, how strange was that for you guys?
Well, I thought it was pretty strange even going back to last year when we saw him in a Kansas City uniform. Remember, he came in here to Cincinnati in August, less than a month after he had been traded in the two-game series that the Royals played here. But he did not pitch in either game, but he held a news conference. And it was very emotional, I think, for everybody at that time. Still emotional last night when he pitched here for the Giants against the Reds. He had a standing ovation when he took the mound. He had a splattering of applause. He went out to the bullpen to start warming up prior to the game. And, you know, Johnny is an emotional guy, and I thought he held it all together until that third inning when Billy Hamilton, I thought that double by Billy Hamilton really kind of got things going against him. Let's see, he had gotten he'd given up a hit, he'd gotten an out on a sack bunt, then Hamilton doubled in a run, and even though Johnny has one of the best moves in the game, he and Hamilton had always joked with one another, with Cueto saying, "Hey, I can pick you off. I can pick you off at first base anytime I want." But as Billy said after the game, "We never really talked about if I was out at second base." And that's where he really looked like he got into Johnny's head a little bit, gave up the six runs. But to Cueto's credit, he came back and had a strong fourth and a strong fifth. And unfortunately, from a Red side of things, both last night and again tonight, it was the bullpen that let them down. And that's why they've now lost, what, 10 of their last 12 games, and are going the opposite direction that they'd like to be going.
You know, with Cueto, looking at his delivery and all the different deliveries that he has, it's really a lot of fun to watch. And I didn't know until he became a Giant that he kind of makes it up as he goes along. I thought the catcher would call for whatever delivery it is, but he's kind of freelancing out there. Is that always the way that's been? I mean, what was the evolution of all of these different deliveries that he has, especially the Louis Tiant-type delivery? Because that one seems to work pretty well for him.
That evolution, really, Joe, started back in 2012 out in Los Angeles. It was probably the middle of the season, and he made a start out there. And after the game, everybody was down in the Dusty Baker's office saying, "Hey, what's the deal with Cueto and that?" He said, "You know, I really don't know anything about it." He said, "You'll have to ask him. It's kind of something that he came up on." Johnny had had a problem in falling off to the first base side and not staying close enough to get the ball. He would always miss outside to right-handed hitters, and so I think he kind of came up with this to keep himself locked in a little bit longer, to keep his shoulder closed, if you will, to enable him to get a better part of the plate. And it kind of worked, and everybody compared him to Louis Tiant. And so then he started improvising from there. First it was the Tiant move, Then it was the kind of the quick pitch that you see him do. And then it's that little shoulder shrug that you see every now and then. And it is, you're right, it is very entertaining to watch. And, you know, the good thing about it from his standpoint, no matter what he does, whether it's the back turn or the shoulder shrug or the quick pitch, he is still always around the plate. And he was here last night, save the one inning.
You know, you wonder if other pitchers are going to follow suit. Jeff Samardzija has changed around a little bit. He's doing a little twist. It's not the Louis Tiant all the way looking towards second base, but he's twisting a little bit. It seems to be working for him. I guess, you know, when you're a pitcher and you have to reinvent yourself a little bit long in your career, if you're not 100% successful the way you would like, it's something that I would think pitching coaches would encourage. Do you see some of that going on, especially, you know, with the teams that you've been covering where, you know, a pitcher might be able to do that in the middle of his career?
You know, I don't know that I've seen a whole lot of that. The one thing that comes to mind is Charlie Morton a number of years ago. All of a sudden you're seeing Charlie Morton pitch at that time for the Pirates, and you're saying, wait, is that Charlie Morton? Is that Roy Halladay out there? Because, you know, he kind of took that Roy Halladay approach, and he looked exactly like Halladay for a time. The Reds have a pitcher in their minor league system who looks just like Tim Lincecum when he throws. And he was up here for a few days and went back down. But when he started pitching this spring, we thought, wow, he looks just like Tim Lincecum with the long arm delivery and the like. But I don't know that there's a whole lot of the copying going on, only because, you know, it's just kind of guys develop their own system and their own manner in which they throw. But certainly, which isn't to say that a guy can't pick things up, like we don't know that Samardzija didn't talk to Cueto or watch Cueto and ask him why he did what he did, and Johnny explained it, and Samardzija thought, you know what? Because Samardzija, remember, years ago was a fall off the mound to the first base side kind of guy, and maybe he thought this would help him, and certainly, I don't know if he did it with the White Sox last year, didn't really see him against Chicago, but he was in command tonight, only 2 walks in 8 innings, and like I said, the numbers will tell you this was his best outing of the year.
We'll have more with Reds play-by-play announcer Jim Kelch right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access!
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
And the manager of the Reds, Brian Price, he's got to be frustrated with the bullpen. You already mentioned blowing that lead on Monday, and it's 21 straight games now that the Reds bullpen has allowed at least a run. That's a record. I didn't know about that until today, seeing that that record had been set. So it's got to be frustrating for Brian because he was a longtime pitching coach. What kind of answers do you think they might have? Are there guys in the farm system that maybe could help out?
Well, the answers, Joe, lie on the disabled list. This team, and even talking with some of the folks around here in Cincinnati today, this team knew that it wasn't going to be a top-level team to compete with the Cardinals and the Cubs and probably the Pirates in the Central Division this year. They just had too much youth, too many questions out of the starting rotation and out of the bullpen. But what they didn't figure, they knew that Homer was going to be coming back late, Homer Bailey, because he had had Tommy John surgery in early May last year. But they went into spring training with a healthy, they thought, Anthony DeSclafani. They thought they were going to have a healthy John Lamb. As it turned out, Lamb had the back disc surgery in early December and didn't quite recover as quickly as they thought he would. And so all of a sudden you have those issues. Then you have Michael Lorenzen go down with an elbow problem in spring, and now he's probably not going to be back until the middle of the year. DeSclafani has still not come back as of yet. And so injuries have piled up on injuries in the pitching staff. So while you didn't think you were going to be a top-level team, you thought you could probably be middle of the pack, maybe play 500 ball, maybe just a little bit under. But all of a sudden, you've got injuries on top of injuries. And so as Brian Price admitted himself, we have guys pitching out of this bullpen right now who probably should not and are not ready to pitch in the big leagues, but due to necessity, they are here, and they probably go to the mound more scared than they are dominant and ready to pitch. And it's shown in the fact that this team got off to a 5-1 start, and now here they are, what, 10-17? So they've won 5 and lost 16 of their last 21.
More with Reds announcer Jim Kelch in just a moment.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now let's get back to the conversation with Reds play-by-play announcer Jim Kelch. It's been a rough go. I mean, when you think about the offense, too, struggling at this point, a guy like Joey Votto, you don't expect him to be hitting down at the 220s, and he just looks like he's not seeing the ball or something's going wrong with him, and even to not have guys on base for him, because those guys at the top of the order, like Hamilton and DeJesus, they need to get on base more, it seems like.
Yeah, they do. The offense has been disappointing, and it's been like this for a couple of years, and that is a situation that a lot of people raise their eyebrows at, because you have a core group of players here that have been all-stars, that have won an MVP in Votto's case, and have been a 3,500 guy in Bruce's case in terms of home runs and RBIs. And yet, when you look at the three of them, and I'll include Phillips in this group, Votto, Bruce, Phillips, they have not really collectively hit so far this year. Billy Hamilton is coming around, but Billy left the game tonight with that nagging left thumb injury that seems to keep coming up for him. He left the game in the middle of the game. Cozart, who had gotten off to a very good start, has missed the last two games with a little tendonitis behind that surgically repaired right knee. Suarez at third, who moved over there with Frazier's departure, got off to a great start the first week, but really has done nothing since then. And so you're kind of looking for answers. And now to top the whole thing off, Devin Mesoraco, more likely than not, is going to be out for the year with a torn labrum in his shoulder. And, that's just very disappointing because of the 2014 that he had. They signed him to a four-year contract, missed all of last year, saved the first couple of weeks due to the left hip injury and now the left shoulder. And so half that four-year contract, he's going to play roughly around 50 or 60 games in 2 years. So this team has just been beset with injuries, and I know it sounds like an excuse, but they're not as deep as they would like to be in the minor leagues. You talked about bringing some guys up from the minor leagues, but they just don't have the depth right now or the will to bring up some of their guys that maybe aren't quite ready, their big-time prospects, and get their major league clock going when they know that it's not going to matter probably in terms of competing for a division championship or a playoff spot this year.
Well, we know that they wanted to bolster their farm system by trading Jay Bruce, but he's a 10-5 guy, and I guess that's a little tricky. And if he's not swinging the bat that great, it's going to make it even more difficult, isn't it?
Well, let me just say this. Phillips is a 10-5 guy, and he rejected two trades, one to the Diamondbacks and one to the Nationals. But Bruce is still tradable. He is not yet a 10-5 guy.
Okay.
And so this is the last year of Bruce's contract. Next year is a team option year. He's making $12 million. And I think the option next year is for 12 or 13, somewhere in there. And they had a deal set up very early in spring with Toronto. But from a health standpoint, from some of the players that were coming from the Blue Jays to the Reds, that deal fell apart. And, I think that it's fairly common knowledge around baseball that if Bruce were to really get off to a good start here, and he did at the beginning, although he slumped a little bit here as of late, or there's a major outfield injury that someone thinks Bruce could come in, Jay Bruce will be gone. I'd still be surprised if he is here all year, and certainly be surprised if he's here in the second half of the year.
How about Adam Duvall? He had a home run on Tuesday night, and Giants fans know about his power, especially the minor league level. He was hitting a lot of home runs, and then they traded him. You know, they were trying to bolster themselves at the end of 2015. What do you think about his future? Not just the power, what about him just as a hitter overall?
Well, you know, the jury's still out, Joe, on Adam Duvall, because this is his first real shot at playing on an everyday basis in the big leagues. He worked hard at spring, and he and Scott Schebler, one of the players acquired in the Todd Frazier deal, were battling for a spot out in left field. They more or less were platooning early. Schebler fell into a bad slump, and so Duvall, who gotten off to a pretty good start, pretty much won the everyday job. But he's been mercurial, up and down out there in left field. He did hit a home run tonight, as you say, but there had been a stretch on this past road trip where he struck out eight straight times and was just not making contact. So, you know, he's been that kind of guy in his career, particularly in the minor leagues. Hit a lot of home run balls, but strike out a lot. I will tell you this, he has adapted very well to the outfield, a guy that played in college at first and third, and even I think in the lower minor leagues played on the infield, but he's adapted well in the outfield. You like to see him make more contact. You like to see him drive in a few more runs. I think he only has five RBIs, and here we are 3.5 weeks in.
Now, the afternoon game on Wednesday, Jake Peavy, who has really struggled for the Giants, going up against Dan Straley, and fans in the Bay Area remember him when he pitched for the Oakland A's, and since that time, he's been with some other teams like the Cubs, the Astros, and now the Reds. What do you like about Straley so far?
Well, what we like about Straley here is his very versatile approach to everything. He can work out of the bullpen, although he has been a starter most of his career, but he was going to be a bullpen guy here until injuries and ineffectiveness forced the Reds to move him to the rotation, which is, I think, where he would certainly rather be. And he's done a good job in the starts that he has made, but I think ultimately his role will be back in the Reds' bullpen. But he is starting tomorrow. He has done a good job. And the Reds will hope that they can salvage one game here out of this three-game series like they did one game out of the three in Pittsburgh.
Before we finish up here, and this has nothing to do with the Reds, but this has to do with overall baseball right now, Jim. I mean, we're seeing, it seems like, on a regular basis here the last week or so, players are getting suspended for PEDs, which is surprising. I mean, you have the testing and everything. You got to be saying, well, how can you be that stupid, you know, to be trying PEDs? But we've seen some bigger name players like D. Gordon, and we saw Colabello with the Blue Jays getting nailed, and some other players. So are you surprised that this is happening right now? And do you think maybe there might be even more severe penalties down the road?
I could see, to answer the back end of your question first, Joe, I could see more severe penalties. I mean, this is the final year of the current agreement between the owners and the players. And so I could see there being more negotiation in that area and make the penalties stiffer. Certainly the players who are adamantly opposed against PEDs and have come out and spoken against it think the penalties should be tougher, and probably they should be. On the other hand, from a player standpoint, you mentioned Toronto first baseman Colabello, and I think the Dodgers just had a pitcher, Raven,
yes,
who also was suspended, and mm-hmm. D. Gordon was suspended as well. And I believe all three of the guys said, you know, it was something they had taken and didn't realize that one of the supplements or one of the ingredients in what they had taken was banned. And I just think that they have to be more careful about that if there's any question whatsoever, or they decided to take something new, whether they have a cold, whatever they're trying to do. I think the first thing you have to do is call the person that checks up on that stuff for you and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking of taking, or here's what someone had given me to take. Can you check it out and let me know? Don't take it first and ask questions later. Certainly you should ask questions first and take whatever the prescription may be, or the medication may be, or the herbal enhancement that you want to take may be, and find out first before you take it, unless you want to sit out for 80 games.
Yeah, and I guess teams are doing everything they can, you know, from the minor league level on up. But at some point, it is incumbent upon the individual to, you know what you're putting in your body. You can't just depend on the organization to take care of you for everything, I would think.
Well, you're going to sit at home and you're going to take these things, or someone's going to give this to you and say, hey, this will help you recover from this. And I'm pretty sure it's clean. There's nothing in here that is off limits to MLB. Well, you can't just take people's word for it. You have to check it out. And if you don't, that's directly 100% on you.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the afternoon game in Cincinnati on Wednesday, and look forward to seeing you down the road here during the season.
Okay, Joe. Well, maybe I'll run into you when the Reds are out there in July in San Francisco.
That's Cincinnati Reds play-by-play announcer Jim Kelch. Join us again on Wednesday. We'll hear from Dan Brown from the Bay Area News Group to talk Giants baseball. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.